I have an announcement. The television program, the reality show, Naked and Afraid, will have a 17th season. Yeah, you can clap for that. This is the most ridiculous show ever developed. It is on a channel that's supposed to present serious discovery. But what they do is take two, a man and a woman, coincidentally, strip them of their clothes, let them take one item each that they think they may need, put them in an isolated place with nothing, and have them figure out how to survive for 21 days. Now, that is the pattern of the first episode. That's what happens. And the second episode, the same thing happens. And the third, and now there have been almost 200 episodes, and it's still the same scenario. Put two people out there with nothing and see them survive. Why does that go on and on and on? Well, I think, you know, they have the sensitive parts of their bodies are fuzzed out by the camera editing. And I think people, at least men, are hoping that they miss one of those. Naked and Afraid is what life is about. But our subject today is about something else. It's about naked and unafraid. Naked and unafraid is the subject of Psalm 139. Now, here is a picture that should startle you because nothing is fuzzed out. God is fully clothed, but Adam is naked. And this is the famous picture of creation painted by Michelangelo in the 16th century. Now, I know it's okay to show this because it is in the Sistine Chapel, and the Sistine Chapel is the personal chapel of the Pope for the past 600, 700 years. This is where the Pope worships. And as long as he bows down, he doesn't have to see the nakedness. But this is only part of the Sistine Chapel. Here is what the chapel really looks like. And what happened in the late 15th century, Pope Sixtus IV, that was his name, that's why it's called Sistine Chapel. Pope Sixtus IV had this chapel built. He was a patron of the arts. And the Renaissance was going on, and all the great Renaissance painters who were part of the Catholic world at that time were enlisted to help decorate the chapel. And the walls of the chapel have some great art by Botticelli and other great names in the Renaissance art of that time. And the walls are lined with this, plus pictures of the popes throughout history. Now, the ceiling was bare. And a generation later, Michelangelo was enlisted to decorate the ceiling. Now, if you look right at the top, that bluish background section, that's the creation that we just looked at with Adam and God. That's just a piece of the ceiling, which is just a part of the elaborate, fantastic decorations in this great center of art, the Sistine Chapel in Rome. Wow. This is amazing. But the fact that right in the midst of that, we have this reminder that before God, we are naked and unafraid. And before God, each of us is created. Like another chapter of Adam, each of us is created naked and unafraid. Each of us begins life as a little baby. Each of us is put together by God in a unique way. And Psalm 139 is all about this. And I'd like to share it with you today. And I hope through Psalm 139, you're not ashamed to be naked and unashamed before God. Because if you're not willing to be totally open, I mean, he sees you anyway. But he will expose you in ways that are very unpleasant. be open with God. Listen to Psalm 139. It's just full of wonderful statements of how God has formed you. Take it personally. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Think of those words, searched and known. It is very intentional. God takes this bit of matter that becomes you, and he intentionally puts together a unique person. It's a knowledge that is in depth and right from the beginning of your existence, when two egg and a sperm came together and initiated that human life. Oh Lord, you have searched and known me. You know everything about me. Here it is, verse 2. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You know when I do nothing and when I try to do everything. You discern my thoughts from far away. I think I'm thinking creatively. You know where that thought came from, and you knew it long ago before I ever thought of thinking it. You search out my path and my lying down. Again, when we're doing something, when we're not doing anything. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. I mean, you know the word, you know the meaning behind the word, you know the situation in which that word is uttered. You know that word completely. So, you are, this you, are completely known by God. You are completely known by God. How naked can you be? But he goes on, verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. It's just, you think you have unlimited possibilities. No, you're hemmed in by your mortality. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Very personal. It's not just that God creates laws that hem you in, but he creates laws and applies them to you in a specific way. You hem me in behind and before, lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is, this is a great verse, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And that's not just like wonderful in the way we use the word wonderful, but it is, we are full of wonder when we think of this, that God is not only that aware of who we are, but that he cares about who we are. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? I'm hemmed in. Maybe there's somewhere I can escape to. Maybe there's some rocks I can hide behind. Maybe there's some blurring I can do of some parts of my life so that my nakedness is not exposed. Where can I go from your spirit? No, there's nowhere to flee from your presence. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Now, heaven is the same word as the heavens, the skies. So if I escape up there or if I escape down there, if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. Now, Sheol is a word for the unknown dark place, and that's not necessarily what we think of as hell, but it's just the unknown portions of life. Just as up there, down here. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. So, think about it. You are completely known. Now, in these verses, we see you are completely contained. There's nowhere you can go to escape from that knowledge of God. Do you feel naked now? Continuing with verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me. Even the darkness is that not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. There's no dark place where God can't see. So you are completely known. you are completely contained, you are completely exposed. That feels very uncomfortable. No place to hide. But also, if you catch the spirit of this psalm, you know there's no need to hide. There's no place to hide. There's no need to hide. Psalm 139, verse 13. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. That was a mystery to our ancients. Now we know, we scientific 21st century people. I get my centuries confused. And we can talk about the stages of development of a fetus, and we can see how that happens, and we can predict the blastula phase and various things, and when there's going to be fingers, and when there's going to be, we can see all of that now scientifically, and we can map it out with DNA and with formulas, and we know all that stuff. We know nothing. We can say all of that, but this is a miracle. You are a miracle, and God is the one who knows all of that. God is the one who forms you in the inward parts. I think that's a kind of a anticipation that the formation of who you are is contained in the DNA of the molecules that make you up. And that science is somehow built into this psalm. So you, from when you formed me, in my inner parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. That picture of being knit together is kind of beautiful. It's just a pattern that develops and emerges. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's just standing in awe. When you realize, when I see what it takes to keep me alive every day, and recognize that my heart has to beat, and every beat of my heart is a fantastic coming together of forces that God has built into my body. When I was a young person, I took that for granted, but as an 87-year-old, that's a miracle. I mean, that last heartbeat was a miracle. I hope the next one's as good a miracle. And they just keep coming, because God is the one who fearfully and wonderfully made me. And if I am that fearfully and wonderfully made, that complicated, that magnificent, a work of art, if I am that, what does that say about the mind of the one who created me? What does that say about him? He is truly fearful and wonderful in the highest sense of the word. Wonderful are your works. And that I know very well. It's like personal experience, the creation of God by acknowledging your own creation and how wonderful that is. My frame, the way all this hangs together, verse 15, was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, which is kind of a metaphor for the womb, the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them yet existed. I mean, this is not built into the created you. This is even before the created you was created. This is when the concept of you was just a random thought in the mind of the Creator God. He could see where all of that was leading. Now, there's a lot of people play games with predestination, that you don't have any control of anything, and that's not the point of this. The point of this is there's no limit to God's knowledge of you personally. And when you recognize how naked you are, you will realize how dependent you are, how much you need to worship your Creator. So, you are completely known, you are completely contained, you are completely exposed, you are completely shaped by the Creator God. Going on in verse 16, repeating that verse, your eyes beheld my unformed substance, in your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Now, if you just think, he's talking about little you. How little you. God has weighty thoughts about little you. God has a vast number of thoughts about little you. You're not a throwaway. You're a work of art that God has created in a unique way. And so, you are completely known, you are completely contained, completely exposed, completely shaped, completely foreseen by God. And then, verse 17 again, how weighty to me are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. So, it's all built in the beginning in the creative act. But as you go through life, you realize in the end, he's just as interested in you. He's just as involved in your life. And that means that between the beginning and the end, all of your life is that open to him. All of your life. Completely known. Completely contained. Completely exposed. Completely shaped. Completely foreseen. Completely investigated. Now that's naked. Unfortunately, I didn't write this psalm. I have to live with it. There's a total mood change in verse 19. Listen to this, 19 through 22. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. From me, I'm taking this personally now. Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. If there's anything perfect about me, it's my hatred. I count them my enemies. Where does that come from? And why is it here? And I'll tell you, all of the people who analyzed this and have studied it over the years wrestle with this problem, is why these verses are in this psalm. Why? I mean, here's what I see in this psalm. Here am I feeling exposed and naked. How am I going to react to this? I react to this by pointing out there. Get your eyes off me. Look, there's those wicked people. I really hate them the way you hate them, Lord. Look, I've got clothes on, see? But those people, they're the ones who are exposed. So I believe that's the mood in which this is expressed. It's almost like the psalmist is showing how petty and small he is compared to the wonder of God's knowledge. Some think this is a later addition to the psalm. Why would they add it? This is in there to show a contrast between the wonderful person that God has created and what we make of that person. when we focus on me and contrast ourselves with others so that God's eyes are not centered on us. So here is this challenge that I fail to appreciate. I fail to be changed by the wonder that God has revealed to me in the creation of me. And rather than worshiping at this point, I try to distract God. Well, let's go on and see what happens next. The two wonderful concluding verses. Verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Those words sound familiar? Look at verse 1. "You have searched me and known me." Now this prayer at the end, "Search me and know me." I like, "Remind me of how well you know." I need to be constantly brought back from my tendency to blame others, my tendency to take the focus off of myself, to blur the parts of the image I don't like. "Search me and know me, know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts." Let's go even deeper. Know my heart, know my thoughts, and don't let up on me. Because I just proved I need more help. I need to be reminded. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So I see in this last statement, you are completely known, completely contained, completely exposed and shaped and foreseen and investigated, but you're also completely malleable. If in this moment you yield to him, you're not hopeless when you fail to use all of his great gifts. The hope is in him. And the prayer is that he will kind of recreate us, remake us into that innocent baby with all the potential he built into us. That you, now, the first 6-7 things on this list are all involuntary. They're things God knows about us, completely known, contained, exposed. But the last one is not involuntary. It's a voluntary act. It's a voluntary response. When you say, "Search me and know me," you're making a decision. You're making a choice to ask God to continue the work of creation in you, to renew that work, to correct the evil. And there's a constant need for recreation in our lives. If there's anything I want to exhort you to do, it is to stay naked before God and stop trying to wrap yourself in some righteous garment that you've been taught is being good, but realize how petty you can be. Stay naked before God and realize that by his grace, you can be naked and unafraid. And God is reaching out to you right now. If you picture the picture in the Sistine Chapel, his hand reaching out to touch Adam's hand. That's not Adam's hand, that's your hand. And God is reaching out to you right now, and I'm asking you to reach back. To reach back and say, "I'm naked, but I'm unafraid by your grace." That's the beginning of salvation. That's the beginning of renewal. That's the beginning of healing in your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we don't have to put on airs. People see through us anyway, Lord. And we pretend, we walk around in life and we say, "Well, I'll I'll promise not to say how naked you are if you promise not to say how naked I am. But the world sees and we see. There's no use our pretending. But you created us to be naked before you and to be naked and unafraid. We pray, Lord, that by your grace, we may start over today like that little baby, and that the promise and the hope and the potential in every created act that comes by your hand, that can be us, that can be each one of us individually. We thank you, Lord. We pray that you'll speak to us in the center of our being and say, yes, you. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.